majesty is in the midst of your own. Thank you for the riches of the glory of inheritance you have put on our inside. Every time we come together, that glory is made manifest. Needs are met. Questions are answered. Situations are resolved by your compassion, by your mercy, and by your grace. Thank you for the answers in the house this morning. Thank you for the comfort you're giving us in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the assurance of being sons forever. Thank you for a love that never fades and never fails. We are grateful, Father. Hearts filled with worship and thanksgiving. We lift our hands in praise. You are our Lord. You are our rock. You are our shelter. You are our shield and our eternal refuge. And we give all the praise and glory to your name. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name we worship. Turn around, welcome one or two people this morning. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Great, great is his name. Great is his name. Great is his name. Great, great, great is his name. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Glory to God. James chapter 1, we've been looking at what redeemed says. And we got that phrase from Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. It says that, let the redeemed say. Let the redeemed say. So we coined that phrase from that particular psalm. And that's a prophecy about the new creation. There are things that redeemed should say now that he is what? Redeemed. So I'm going to read from James chapter 1 again. And verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So every good gift, and that is the word given. So every good given, then every good gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights. Of course, how did the gift come? He came via the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So it says there's a giving that is in God, and that giving carries God's signature, because the gift is meant to bless the recipient and perfect the recipient, or make the recipient a demonstration of the gift. So it says every good gift. So a proper way to define that first word gift in English is what giving, every good giving. And from that giving, the gift that proceeds from it is meant to perfect the recipient. This is when you see that in operation, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness in that word, shadow of turning. And that's important. It now says, of his own will. So you know your origin, where you come from. You know the nature of your father. You know the nature of the gift he also gave you. So your father is not careless. He's not one of those people who abandons his own. That's what he's trying to say. So within the gift, therefore, is everything you will ever need. That's what he's trying to say. The gift is meant to perfect you. It has perfected you. You are in the image of God. Say, I'm in the image of God. Now, so within that gift, within that perfection now, there are things you do in response to the understanding that the gift has been given and you're a recipient. This is of his own will. He's still describing verse 17. He begat you. How were you begotten? By the gift that perfected you. He begat you with the word of truth. So he now calls that gift the word of truth or reality. And he's talking about reality in terms of what God originally intended to do, he has done. That gift has accomplished it, the word of truth. That we should be, so to the end that you and I should be a display, a sampling of a particular reality. That you and I should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So we spend time defining what the word first fruit means. It means where that came from, there's more. Or what you call the promise of what? More. Amen. So if you've been perfected in Christ Jesus, and by perfection doesn't mean you're perfect in conduct, your new nature has the nature of Christ, so you're perfect in conduct. But you grow into that. Which part of you grows? Your consciousness, your understanding. Until it shows up in everything that you do. You know, that's why we have to be careful. When we speak about Christians, if your understanding of God, you get it from social media, you go astray. So you hear people that say things like, and you call yourself a Christian. The person who says that doesn't know what a Christian is. He doesn't know. That means the world has an idea of what a Christian should be. And if you ask them what's the idea, you will discover that they will call an unbeliever a Christian because he seems to be morally sound. The only problem is that moral soundness lacks divine power. So what God gives to the world, Or what the enemy gave to the world is morality, which is a counterfeit of righteousness. Righteousness is a standing with God, having the nature of God. So if God ticks your box and says you are right, it means you are right. Say I'm right. Say I'm accepted in the beloved. So with God, you start out with a credited account. You now leave out the account. You don't come to God with a full account. You come empty. Then he credits your account with his nature, which you are not meant to live out. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. So you come to God with a credited account. He credits your account with salvation. The gift that perfects you. He now says, now that I've made you this, live out what I've made you. So you're not called to struggle to be. He made you to be. In Christ you have become. Glory to God. So now that you are what he promised, now that you are that new creation that the prophets of old look forward to, you are now to live out, to put on display. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read from verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. As newborn babes. You're not newborn babes. As newborn babes is a figure of speech, isn't it? So, as newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, the word of God is not milk. It uses figures of speech to explain what's trying to say. So, a newborn babe would desire milk, yes or no? If you see a new mommy that's dying in a bar, you know there's a problem. Even one that spends too much time in mother's room doesn't start with a bar. So, if you give a newborn baby a bar, you are likely to be arrested if you are caught. Okay, because that's meal. The digestive system can't understand it yet. The processor inside will crash if you try that. So, it says, as a newborn baby, so similar to how newborn babies are, you are to desire the sincere milk. So, the word sincere means undiluted, unadulterated milk. So, milk here is used as a figure of speech for that which nourishes you. Let me say that again. The word milk here is used as a figure of speech to describe what nourishes you. So again, the same way a newborn babe would cherish and long for the milk of the mother, it says you are to desire in the same way. But this time around, he now calls the word of God the milk that nourishes you in the ways of God, in the nature that you have received. The word of God nourishes you. It brings you understanding that nature so you can walk in it. Now, see what it says again. That you may what? Grow. Most of people here are full grown. Once you're over 21, you're more or less fully grown, isn't it? So the word grow there will have to be with what? In spirituality, in understanding of who you are, your identity. So you can maximize and enjoy. Now look at what it says next verse. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is what's gracious, that's another word for saying, since you know that you are now saved, you are a recipient of the grace of God. Say, I'm a recipient of the grace of God. I've tasted, I've experienced God's mercy in salvation. God has been gracious to me. Now, see what it says next, please. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected of men, but chosen of God and precious. Can you see that? So, when you came to him, realize that you came because you believed. They didn't come because they rejected the offer. So, you saw him the way God put him. They rejected him the way God set him. How did God set him? He's chosen of God and precious. They disallowed or rejected the offer. So you now, notice, to whom come when you came to him. And your coming is a continuous coming. When I say coming now, I mean you get saved more than once. It means your consciousness now, you must always regard him as chosen of God or precious for the next verse. For the next verse, look at the next verse for it to make sense. You also, or in like manner, interestingly, in the Greek, the word living and the word lively are the same. I don't know why the translators change the word in English. They mean exactly the same thing. We're cut from the same cloth. We're cut from the same cloth. So, it says, you also as lively stones, you are what? Built up a spiritual house. An holy priesthood to offer up spiritual what? Sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, some things are important to emphasize. When I pray in the spirit, I'm offering spiritual sacrifices. When I sing unto God in praise, I'm offering spiritual sacrifices. When I rejoice by faith, I'm offering what? Spiritual sacrifices. Now, when you see a Christian, you look at the word of exhortation we received this morning, who is not educated in the word of God, you will find that strange. We don't have a problem with that at the initial stage because you're just learning. The instruction is you have to desire the sincere milk, the nourishing milk. So the word will nourish you to the place where you realize that your rejoicing has nothing to do with circumstances. Your rejoicing has to do with an eternal victory deposited in your account. And that until you practice your inheritance, you will never walk in the experience of it. Let me say it again. You see, when you're taking a child, you're helping a child to walk, before they become toddlers, you hold them by the hand, isn't it? You walk with them, they are excited, they take a few steps. When you leave them, what happens? They fall. And then when they start making steps by themselves, you put checks and balances here and there, things to help them, to assist them as they are walking. And you're also excited. Now, when they are falling, when they are trying to walk, it's not that they cannot walk. They've just not mastered balance. You understand that? Now, so the more they practice, what happens? What happens? How many of you have ever used a roller skate before? Roller skate. Okay. What about skateboard? Okay. Let's just go to ice rinks. But I'm just saying that you've been walking on your 2 feet for a long time. How do you feel when you put on roller skates? You first feel clumsy. You feel like the world is upside down. You are struggling to meet them. You hold on to walls. The same thing happens to you when you want to start swimming, isn't it? How many of us have ever tried to swim before? And when you look at it in videos, it looks very easy. It's not just to get in the water and do like this. Have you been there before? The most annoying part is when you see children passing you by. You are holding on to the side. They are passing by. And they are moving so easily. So you are tempted. Just do like this. I do my leg like this. Even watch your leg. This is simple. What's there? Why do I even need to register in the class? What is there to learn? Is it not just like, you forgot you are not a fish? What? You are about to discover. And then if you are lucky, you stay in the deep end, if you are fortunate. You remember to stay in the deep end where your leg can touch the ground. So that when you are about to drink water, it will not be too much. Because there are people who will use water in the pool, who think that thing you saw the child do very easily, there's a rhythm to it. And that's from practice. And there is nobody here that cannot swim. There's nobody here that can swim. The reason why you struggle in water, you'll be amazed, is just rhythm. There's a rhythm you ought to get. Once you don't get that rhythm for the next 5 years, you get into water, do the same thing. Because you will do what you think they are doing, but you're not doing what they are doing. But you think you're doing. See, it's the same thing like driving. How many of you have used mouth to drive before? I just turn like this, just do there like this. You just sit in the driver's seat first. And then you're thinking, they made life easier now. You know, there's automatic gear now. So, I mean, that's the easy. Just like, when we started driving, it was manual gear. The first thing I asked was that, how do I keep my eyes on the road? I know which gear I'm pushing. I asked them, please, gear one and two. When do I know when to put it? He said, you will know. What do you mean I will know? Is it by the spirit? By the spirit. Say, no worry. When you exhaust there, you don't move to two. And I'm going to, how will I know? But the minute you start driving, if some of you now, the way you hold on to steering, everybody can tell. When they are talking to you, say, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. I forget the turning of our house, don't talk to me. Now that you can drive, the way you pose with one hand, you are having conversations, you are listening on the phone. How come you never forget the turning to your house? Practice over time. Here's the difference. That skill, that ability has always been on the inside. It was exercise that brought it out. It was there. Your mobility, everything was there. Your ability to concentrate, it was there. It just needed to be brought to the what? Surface. The same thing when it comes to swimming. The people who are swimming as they are going past you, there's a flow in their arms and their legs that's propelling them forward. If you try to do the same thing initially, and you're not making progress, and you seem to be in one spot, you know, you drink some water, like I said, there is no way you drink some water. If you don't, even the only way you can do sometimes when you come out, you are belching. Why are you belching if you have not? Now, the issue is really, the reason why you're not moving is very simple. Your hand movement and your leg movement is canceling out. That's what's happening. But you don't know. So you're struggling. But if you persist, what happens? You will master it. How did I learn to swim? 1990. I went to UI Staff Club. I went to go and swim. I saw little children. Yeah, I was about to finish secondary school. I can't swim. I saw them, little things. They went out water like they appear over there. So I said, I will not leave this place. I'll be coming every day for a week. By Thursday of that week, I got it. But I just kept at it. I said, how can this little thing here? I mean, I was into bodybuilding, so I was even big. You know, so you feel more ashamed. As big as you are, God, you cannot see. But I'm saying the muscles, the movement, everything was already with me. It needed to be exercised. So when he says, you also as lively stones loaded with Christ, you have already been built up. That is God's work, not your work. He built you this way. He says, within you as an holy priesthood, that's a compound word, you are able, you have the ability to offer up spiritual what? Sacrifice. Is that a word? Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So it's in light of what Christ has done. There are sacrifices within you. You need to be taught and instructed how to offer and walk in the reality of it. That's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying the same thing James is saying. So go back to James now. James chapter 1 verse 18. So he says, James says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Look at next verse. Verse 19. Wherefore, or for this reason, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and what? Slow to rot. So if you're swift to hear, it means be diligent in the area of hearing, because the hearing should come before speaking. Now, if you're speaking before hearing, it means you are working with the old syllabus. Let me say it again. And it's going to tell you what the old syllabus is now. So there is a speaking that comes after salvation. But for what precedes that speaking is a hearing. See what it says? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I just gave you information. I just told you every good gift, and the gift that perfect is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. There is no duality in him. Now, of his own will, according to his plan and intention, he has given you birth. And you have been born into a reality, and a world of reality, a supernatural world of reality. It says, for this reason, my beloved, be swift or be diligent to hear. What did he just hear? That he has given you birth. You are a kind of first fruits, and there is more from where that came from. That's what you should be faithful to hear. He now says, and you should be slow to speak, so that you'll be slow to what? Wrath. Are we together this morning? Now, look at next verse, because these are principles of life. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not what? The righteousness of God. So you can see what righteousness is, what the right action of God. So there are right actions coded within you that are meant to come out. There are right actions. You are in a supernatural world. You are in a world of supernatural realities. So there are right actions that are meant to proceed, and they will proceed as you learn to speak. But if there is no hearing for the speaking, we won't see right action. What we see is rot. Negative consequences. So we see people partaking of death when they have life within them. Because that you have life doesn't mean automatically you have life experiences. No. There is something about what you speak that governs what you release and what comes into your experience. It's so important that we understand that. Now that you have been built up a spiritual house, a spiritual house, you offer spiritual sacrifices. Look at James chapter 3. Let's follow James. I'm going to read from verse 3. Behold, or see, look, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and with those bits we turn about their whole body. He's using an illustration. James uses an illustration. So behold also the ships, those mighty vessels upon the waters. He says, behold the ships also, though they be so great, they are driven with fierce winds. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor list or where the governor wills. So this is when you see ship, as big as it is, what is used to steer the direction of the ship is actually very small. It's called a helm, isn't it? Now, what the captain of the ship is meant to do is to set the course of the ship by setting the helm. Will there be fierce winds? Yes. In our likings, listen carefully, the helm of that ship to a man's tongue. So you can say figuratively, your life is like God's ship. God is meant to be the governor of that ship. And the way you make God governor is by what you employ your tongue to do, or your tongue now becomes the helm of the ship of your life. Let me say it here. Will there be fierce winds? Yes. It's telling you the fierce winds will blow. But listen carefully. The captain of the ship doesn't turn the ship based on the winds that are blowing, but based on the destination it's going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we together this morning? It's important. So you set the course. Now, if we take that literally, there will be winds that will blow. There will be challenges that will come up. The helm of my life is my tongue. So I'm to set the direction where I'm going, no matter what wind is blowing. The minute I look at the wind, which I'll be tempted to look at many times, I may be tempted to change the direction of the ship of my life. I may be tempted to do that, which is what every other person is doing. But it says you can set a course of your own ship with what you say, and you still have a destination. It says, so the ship is that big. But remember, what controls that ship is just a very small help. So it's telling you the words that you employ on a daily basis governs the experiences that come into your life more than you realize. More than you realize. Think about it. You're in a bus, a commercial vehicle. Everything about you or your hand around you is negative. Everybody speaks about the there was a time, I think, between late last year and this year. Once they talk about the government, everybody has something to say. You notice that. Now, you can easily get carried away, but it's just we're just talking about current affairs. Is your life current? With God's plan, is it current? Have you noticed, because you are a holy priesthood, when you speak what you're meant to say in buses, everybody will keep short. They will think you're from another planet. They will think you're not okay. Think about it. Somebody is cursing in the bus with vile language, and people are like, okay, is this normal? Then you start laughing. Then they change seats. Right, look at what this country has done. Because they don't think it's natural for a man to rejoice in this heat and this economy. They say, glory to God. Say, eh? Just... But it says you are able to offer up spiritual what? Sacrifices. And that's why you practice first when nobody's there. You made an order last week. It sold out. You are making another order. It's now times two. What do you want to say? This country. You close the door of your shop. You run around. I have the victory. I have resources. God supplies all my needs. New opportunities are opened up. I'm able to supply. What are you doing? You're offering up spiritual what? Sacrifice. Your priesthood is different. If you don't connect your tongue to God's ability, you'll connect it to the world's failure. There's no vacuum in life. You will. The one who is setting out on a journey, you don't wait for the winds to blow before you set the direction. You set the direction so that when the wind blows, it meets you with the direction you are going. You are still going to the end of your journey. You still get there. That's the plan. So many illustrations were used to convey this. And let's see what it says again. Look at next verse. James chapter 3. Even so, the tongue, a little member, it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Old English, really. It just seems that when you gather rubbish together, all it takes to set it ablaze is just a little match. That's what he's trying to say. And he's likening the tongue. The tongue is like a fire. It's not that tongue is a fire. It's like a fire. A word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It can defy the whole body and it can set on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Heavy figures of speech. We look at the book of James, one of this. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is is like an unruly evil. It's full of what? Deadly poison. There will we bless God, even the Father, and there will we curse men, which are made after the image of God. Out of the same man proceeds what? Blessing and cursing, my brethren. So he's giving illustration is now reminds you. Are we brethren? Do we come from the same womb? Have we been perfected in Christ Jesus? Has he begotten us of his own will? Okay. By the word of reality. So there's a reality we're meant to acknowledge, agree with consistently. He now says, do you notice the problem is that out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things are not supposed to be. They're not supposed to be. So, a lot of times, the challenge is not that you're not confessing. The challenge is that many other things you're saying when you're not conscious is canceling out your confession. That's the issue. When you're under pressure and you want to be real, for God's sake, be real with the reality of Christ. Say amen. Now, I'm not saying you're denying. You know, some people, what they call confession is denial. You didn't come to church. So, Pastor, I'm very strong. If you are strong, we see you jogging to church. Mr. Pastor, I'm very strong. I know what you're trying to say, but what you're saying is wrong. You are confusing your body. You're sending wrong signal. Even me that you're talking, you're confusing me. Because normally, if you are strong, where you should be? You should be here. What you want to say that you are sick? First of all, I wasn't feeling well. I wasn't feeling fine. And I will tell you, wow, how are you feeling now? Some people think to admit they're not feeling fine, it's like they don't have faith. Ah, no. We have a mortal body. It's not immortal yet. Say amen. Amen. But luckily, you are inside of the world. Where mosquito is, amen. You have a mortal body. It's not immortal yet. It's not until you are not feeling fine. No. Because if you are not feeling fine, you are not feeling fine. It's not simple. They're saying that I'm feeling hot. No, I'm not feeling cold. I'm feeling very, very cool. But you are sweating. We can all see you are sweating like this. You say you are feeling cool. So that's not confession. Confessions are, Pastor, I'm not feeling fine, but I believe that I'm well in Jesus' name. That's what you ought to say in that sense. So faith or confession does not deny facts. It only acknowledges the higher reality. Let me say that again. Faith's confession does not deny facts. It only acknowledges what? A higher reality. There is a law of sin and death, but there's good news. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. From what? The law of sin and death. There's a law of gravity that causes things to stay on the ground. There's a law of lift that overcomes what? The law of gravity, isn't it? So, there are laws. Now, the law of the spirit of life comes into full expression with the words that we speak. Remember, you have been born of that incorruptible seed. That seed produces much more based on what you are what? Saying. Pause here. Put your hands there. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. So that Solomon will not say he didn't consult him on any matter. Let's read what Uncle Solomon wrote. Let's read verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. See what it says. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach where? In the spirit. A wholesome tongue. The word wholesome means healthy, life-giving. So a wholesome tongue is a tree. What do you see on a tree? You see fruits. So these are figures of speech. So it says a wholesome tongue can feed you or can feed your life with the right experiences. A wholesome or a healthy tongue, a life-giving tongue, can give you the right experiences because it's a source of life. The word tree there also means source of life. So it says a wholesome tongue is like a tree, a source of life. It will impute into your life the right experiences. It says, but perverseness, is a breach. So perverseness simply means a tongue is bringing out sweet water and bitter at the same time. There's a perverseness. There's something contrary. It's not producing sweet water all the time. Sometimes it's sweet, sometimes it's bitter. No, he said there's a perverseness. There's a breach. That means there's a break in the flow. That's what he means by that. Say amen. So notice what he says, that a wholesome tongue, it has healing power. It's also the word where remedy comes from. When you were reading Proverbs before that says in verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my wants. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are one life unto those that find them. And they are health. That's the same word, wholesome. They are health to all their flesh. So he's telling you, the word of God which is spiritual can be made physically manifest in your body through the instrumentality of your tongue. So I call for health because health is. I call for wholeness because there's wholeness available in my account. Now, the voice of my body can speak to me also and tell me my head is about to fall off. Have you felt like that before? But within that same trend, you can actually call for health. That a headache should subside. You can. You actually can. And it takes practice. It's that practice that sometimes we balk at doing. Because you know, the Bible talks about after you have suffered a while. The suffering is between the time you are practicing and manifestation. Because people think that when you are taught the message of your confession, you just confess today, you see results. Like a baby, God will give something to you free of charge. Can just until you grow, until your muscles grow. So it will carry you. Have you seen a child before? Again, let me use the example of swimming pool. Have you taken a baby to a swimming pool before? You carry the baby, maybe has the illusion of swimming, but you're the one holding the baby in the water. Maybe he's doing water like this. So you have to start, just like when you're carrying baby. That mommy, I want to fly. You carry baby, you have to fly. Who is really carrying? Don't drop. I watched a video not too long ago. They wrote to me and said, the best dad in the world. The boy, I don't think that boy is up to 2 years of age. He used to watch wrestling. He was doing wrestling before that. You've seen that video? A new wrestling father. So, boy went to go and jump. The father was the landing couch for the jumping. Boy was watching much of wrestling. He thinks that's how they jump. So, but the father, you know, they acted the whole scenario. The father put the hand on the father's head. They slammed. Father went down. Even put the boy on his hand. For exile counting. 1, 2, 3. Go, winner. In real life, you don't have the strength to do it yet. So when you are carrying, so when you force that God will carry you, you pray small prayer, answers. You small things. How many of you have been for God's sake? Some of you stop praying. You tell him what to do. You think you are the boss. After a while, the Lord shows you who is the boss. You are not the boss. You stop praying again, my brother. You didn't beat nonsense out of it. Because there's no reason for stopping. You just want to stop praying. When they beat you, you now know that way. You are the Lord. That is your name. You will never give. Because you stopped praying before, you were going somewhere. Father, you have to tell me. So it's suffering for you. It's also treating like a child. But you have to grow. I can't be carrying Alex like Alex, you have to do like this. Eh? I can't be carrying. You have to grow. So God wants you to exercise your muscles and discover the reality of who you are. He wants you to exercise your muscles. That these challenges you are facing, they are bred for you. They are bred for you. They're not strong enough to overcome you. So it begins to school you and teach you. Everything is dark, call for light. Account is empty, call for abundance. And he said, come today and see tomorrow. Just keep calling. Just keep calling until you are used to it, until your consciousness rises up to your reality. So that after a while, it won't take so long between when you say a manifestation again. But most of all, when we start out, there's no manifestation. And you are saying, you've been moving so much in the wrong direction that all your confession, first of all, is to cause you to even slow down. And your momentum in the wrong direction. I mean, even I'm talking about, you know, when your life is moving in the wrong direction, every confession you're making now is to put a brake on it. So you just, the vehicle is slowing down because you're moving expressly towards wrong things. So everything you were saying is not even going in the right direction yet. It's to halt your direction. Then, you know, after, you know, it first takes to turn around the vehicle. Turn around the vehicle, now you are facing this way, you now begin to pick up speed. So imagine you are still facing the wrong direction, you are saying, I don't know why there's no answer. You say this thing works, it doesn't work. No, you will use that same tongue to enforce negative laws in the wrong direction for a long time. First of all, Evan Kenneth Copeland said something that blessed me years ago. I went to Edison Library to go and read some of the books. This was 2004. And he said, the first 8 people he laid hands on to be healed all died. And that's not good news. How would you feel if it was you? Just say, God did not call me to ministry. Everybody lay, and the first 8 said they all died eventually. No sign. But what changed after the 8th person? He started getting results. Imagine if he stopped. Because what was called an apostle of faith. He used to hear about people getting healed in different places. He used to be a very successful plumber. He will charter a bus or full of people that are sick. He will take them to where they're holding services. He will pay their fare to and fro. They will have service, they will be healed. He used to do it several. One day when he was doing it, the people that were holding meetings were smiling. Said, how can we tell him that he doesn't need to bring them here? He can do it where he's bringing them from. How do we tell him? He thinks he's where God is. He doesn't know God can be there. Then one day, they encourage him and tell them, if don't bring them, have a service over there. The first service of that kind he ever had, he tried. He got a few results. Then continued. The man you are calling the apostle of faith that has raised 23 people from the dead today. That's where I started. That's the same principle like a baby. You are saying. Initial stage is as though there is no sign. But something is happening in your sin realm. You are gaining. You are ascending gradually. Things are changing in the realm where you can't see. The only problem is that your focus is here. Look at that scripture today. Why we look not at the things that are what? Seen. But at things that are not seen. For the things which we see, they are what? Temporal, or subject to change, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Glory to God. We're in a new season. I said, we're in a new season. May is going to be glorious for us. Hallelujah. You can set the ball rolling. The law of the spirit of life is meant to be exercised by our lips. Look at what it says. We having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written. Question, where is it written? That was a direct quotation from Psalm 16 verse 10. Guess what it was actually quoted by David. So he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also want believe, and we therefore speak. So if I believe, will I speak? If I believe, will I speak? Okay. So let me say it this way. Remember, look at Matthew chapter 4. Just follow me. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's read verse 3 for context. And when the tempter came to him, this is Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So man is a generic word for mankind. The plan of God is that man will have experiences based on the word that proceeds from the mouth of God by proceeding from his own mouth also. So notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is quoting scriptures back to Satan when temptation came. Who said what Jesus said? God said it. What did Jesus say? It is demonstrating how man ought to live. That's what he's doing. Everything Jesus said in response in the temptations, the three that came, they were from Deuteronomy, what we call the Old Testament. Because the word of God is not old, it's new forevermore. It is the utterance of God. So Jesus spoke to Satan and said what God said. It is not what you say that I'm meant to live by. I'm meant to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how I'm meant to live. That's God's design for you, for me. So if God says it, I become the establishing witness upon the earth. So I don't take my cue from what's happening in the world or the environment. I take my cue from what has God said. Did God say you are well? Did he say you are healed? Did he say you are whole? Did he say you are blessed? Did he call you prosperous? What do you call yourself? What do you call yourself? I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore what? We speak. When that was written, what he was believing for was yet to come to pass. David, Psalm 116, verse 10. What you have believed has happened already. So it's a reality. Because we believe, we therefore what? Speak also. So the speaking part is not to possess, it's to experience what you possess. Let me say it again. The speaking part is not to possess, it's to experience what you already what? Possess. Say, health is mine. Prosperity is mine. Abundance is mine. So it doesn't matter how terrible the situation is. David said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and we therefore speak. So it is normal, it is like God to call for those things that be not as though they were. It is like you also to call for those things that be not as though they were. And that's why the principle of confession is such that once the reality of God's word is in your consciousness, you begin to declare it as your experience. Not as something you will experience, but as your what? Experience. I have health in my body. Life flows in me. You see, let me say this because it's important. If God has ever used you in any ministry, you know what I'm talking about. I've been sick with respect to the way my body was, and I lay hands and people were healed. What did I use that experience to teach myself? If power can flow from you to heal people, there's life in you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There is life in you. But that life doesn't automatically heal you. It is healing them because they are receiving. That means you also can receive of the same life. Do you understand something this morning? I mean, my faith was strong for ministry, to be a blessing people. If the 5 below was called the healing and deliverance room, people used to come to my room, if the 5 below, to receive healing and many times deliverance. That was what it was known for. All kinds of things were happening there. Importance of the hall, they knew me. By name. Because that was the first light I had when I began to preach. So healing was something that was consistent. In fact, I had some experiences that were unusual that in my faculty, my classmates wanted to pursue it for me in front of everybody. I had to quickly grab him. So I was having those experiences because the kind of books I was reading, your consciousness will be elevated. As of 1995, I already come into contact with Adventures with God, E.W. Kenyon, Bible in Light of Our Redemption. The first time I read that book, I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I had to read it again. It was so high. I started with the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm like, what is this? But the first free Bible book I ever read in my life, 1989, was I Went to Hell. Imagine that kind of book. Can I hear again? I was scared. Out of hell into heaven. In my consciousness. But I'm saying that I taught myself that I laid hands on this person. The person was healed. Came back to testify. And I'm feeling sick in my body. In the name of Jesus, I have life in my body. I'm talking about your lips are trembling from fever. And you are still saying, life is mine. Health is mine. Vitality is mine. That's what you're doing. It's a practice and a training. Will there be pain? Yes, don't run from the pain. It's part of the school. Somebody, what are you doing? You are exercising yourself onto what? Godliness. You are confessing abundance and you know that your account is red. It doesn't change the fact that you have abundance. Listen, if God has to bring a man from the east to send money to you, he will do it. If your confession doesn't change, he will do it. Because you have to have practical experiences with God coming through for your faith to be strong. You have to have it. And until you are put in the spot, you're not going to have it. So the only other way is that before the challenge comes up, if that's your daily confession, I can never be stranded. My God supplies all my needs according to riches. I am never stuck. Doors of opportunity always opened unto me. The work of my hands are blessed. This business is prospering. The waters of heaven are causing this thing to increase and to prosper. Everything I lift up my hands to do flourishes. If you don't have that upon your lips, you will confess according to the economy. Everything's expensive. Businesses are failing. No, honestly, no man can do business in this country. Are you not part of man? Nobody can do business in this country. And the only way of escape is to leave this country. They now refuse your visa. Where's left? Where will you go? You know, sometimes when they refuse your visa, it is the mercy of God. That's at work. I know you won't like that one. Say, Pastor, okay, skip that part. Just go on. Let's leave that one alone. Let me come out down so I can see your face very well. You've prayed prayers. You've spoken some words. See, in God's mercy, it's not every prayer you pray, it will allow you to have interpretation. Because he knows you very well. We have been there. When I was coping this woman, I made plans. I don't ask her to. I was like, I was putting things in place that just be around her so that you be the only thing that she'll be seeing. You can't plan everything. So when it was my time for service here, I began to pray. You know the scriptures. Confess. I will serve in Lagos. I will serve in Ibadan. Only one problem. And I began to bring the spirit. That's when problems started. Everything I want to mention in Ibadan, my tongue will twist. It will become tongues. First time. Second time. Third time I surrender. I surrender. Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Out of peace and of evil. To give you what? A hope. And a future. So I knew I wasn't going to be in Ibadan. I knew Umi Lagos. So when they came out with Maiduguri, the end of the earth. When I was going in that journey, when we got to 18 hours on the road, my mind disconnected from my family. Can I have been that far away for 18 hours inside the bus? We stopped like twice only. When you get to that place, you don't decide to come back when you're hungry. You can just... You plan when you are going to come back because you have to save money to come back. In those days, well, young Shagro bus I used to take. So it's not you can't, I'm angry, I'm going to leave this place. You cannot leave home. You will calm your anger down because it's the distance before you can get back. You plan and you tell yourself, no more times I can go home. Maybe once or twice. Because I didn't have money for flights. Some of them will take flight. 18 hours on the road. So I knew I wasn't going to. Now, in God's mercy, his plans are better than your own. All this is your permutation and combination. He knows what is best. I have a friend who was rejected U.S. visa because that's not God's plan. In the place of praying in the spirit, sometimes when you speak certain things, when you declare certain things in place of prayer, what happens is that you've said some things ahead of time. And those things you said ahead of time are things that the Spirit of God is working with. He inspired you to say that. When he inspired you to say what you said, he's working with that to lead you to the desired end. That's what he's doing. Now, if those things come to your understanding, many of you won't say it. How many of you I'm talking about? I mean, one of my friends, his plan was to go to the U.S. He had qualification, he had everything. He had the funds, he had finances. They said no. He's in U.K. now. Solid ministry, reaching out to the whole world. Has a house. He got the house in the shortest possible time. His confessions were good, but what he was saying in the spirit was he would be in UK, but he wanted to go to the US. So they rejected him into God's plan. Amen. Amen. You know, confession is true because if you pray in the spirit much, there's some things you want to say, God say, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. That means God is even involved in what you say. Also, don't say that. What you're about to, don't say that. You love Austria or Vienna. Some of you is Canada. God's like, I have work in Vienna. You have never thought of Vienna before. When you say Germany, it's like a demotion. Well, what? Jam what? No. Let me say my Lagos. And God knows that contentment is in Germany. So he says, don't be like the mule. They have to put beads in your mouth and force you in it. Don't be like the mule. Even as you are praying in the Spirit and confession is rising by the Spirit, let the confession flow forth, because you just asked God to be the captain of your ship, isn't it? Is that not what you want? Then let him be. So there are some things you will pray in the Spirit that he won't give interpretation because he knows you. He will give interpretation when he knows you are mature enough to handle it. There's a brother you want to marry, and God knows there's no future with that brother. But you like the brother. He's a nice brother. His car is also nice. He has a very nice job. But this other brother in church, he doesn't have car. All he knows how to do is pray in tongues. And there's a future that you have in mind. And God has looked at the future. You are the answer to his brother's prayer. He's even looking at you and not seeing Luke. If God tells you directly, I told someone in church some years back, a pastor has used wisdom. Pastor, the father complained to me that she was in a relationship that wasn't healthy. He wasn't happy about the relationship and everything. So I told him, when ladies get into relationship, common sense does not work. Have you noticed? You know, they don't, others are, let me advise you, you will not listen. All you'll be thinking is that, I love him. Common sense will not work again. So I told him that we will handle it, but not the way you are going. Pastor, tell her. So Pastor, sir, that's not how it's going to work. So I called that one. I said, I sense you should pray for the next 3 days. Just pray. So I held her hands up. She prayed for the next 3 days. Mysterious relationship broke up. Then something else strange happened. The normal process of ought, because she was betrayed, that should take place maybe 2 or 3 weeks. It she discovered today it happened, she was hot. The next day, it's like somebody reached a hand inside and removed the pain from her heart. Supernaturally. She's married and doing very well now. To the right person. Well, as far as she was, she will list that person as the right person before. I hope you understand. See, you can like somebody so much, the person is even your confession. I will marry Sister Tola. God, give me Sister Tola. I will marry Sister Tola. Sister Tola or I die. Please don't die. It's UK, I die. Don't die. Don't die. No, your life is in God's hands. Hallelujah. And it gives you wisdom concerning how to speak forth until you arrive at the desired what? Destination. Psalm 62, verse 11. Glory to God. Says a new season. I will align my words with the will of God. I will speak only the word of God concerning his plans for me. Psalm 62, verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. So this is what he heard. That power belongs to who? Belongs to God. So notice God spoke once, but twice. So the second hearing, the first hearing is what God said. The second hearing is what you say because of what God said. Now, if power belongs to God, then you know that he's in control of everything. Just line up with him. So the second hearing there is speaking about the fact that you hear the second hearing because you said what God what said. That's what you mean by twice have I heard this. So the first time was what God said. The second echoing is you echoing God's word back to him. Why? You are the establishing witness. You are the establishing witness. And it's so important we understand that. Before there's a storm, condition your life with God's word. Declare what you already have. Though the mountains be cast in the midst of the sea, God is my refuge and fortress. A very present help where? In trouble. It doesn't matter if mountains are cast in the midst of the sea. There's a river that makes glad. I'm that city of God. And there's a river within me now. Hallelujah. I speak life only. I speak the praise of God only. I declare his counsel only at all times. God wants you settled. If you're trusting God for marriage more than you want to be married, he wants you settled more than you want it. And he knows the right person for you. All you need to do is put his word upon your lips. Leave him to do the rest. How he organizes the person that's going to be, because I always tell singles this, you are the answer to somebody's prayer. That's the truth. Somebody is praying and you are the answer to that prayer. So if you think you are praying, somebody else is also praying. And you are the answer. And God's plan is to find a way to what? And the less there's resistance from you or two of you, the easier it is for God to ensure that the two of you come together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's important to see. So as God's house, as God's temple, one of the ways we allow the power of God, the glory of God, to find full expression is to learn that your words are constantly lining up. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm running up now. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. From verse 1. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Who is the house of God now? Who is the house of God now? Say, I'm the house of God. Here is the house of God. Because there are many temples gathered here to make a one temple. So he says, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. So in case you're thinking of literal foot, foot signifies direction. He says, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give what? A sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Notice that. Be more willing to hear. That is, be swift to hear and be slow to speak. So what is the evil he's talking about? The sacrifice of fools there is to speak rashly. Now look at next verse. Say, be not rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter what? Anything before God. For God is where? In heaven. And you are upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Or God is the one who judges. By your words you shall be what? Justified. By your words you shall be condemned. It's a spiritual principle. I agree with what God says. I have God's justification. I agree with what the enemy says. I experience rot and defeat. I'm the establishing witness to spiritual realities. But there's a reality I'm already mastering. It gives me back by the word of truth. His reality is my reality. He's my present help. He provides for me at all times. He supplies my needs. Don't be rash with your mouth. Don't let your heart be hasty. That's what it says. So utter the wrong things. Go back to that. So God is in heaven. So because you are now the establishing witness. Don't be rash. Don't be rash. Be careful about what you say. I put up a post, I don't know when I put it on Facebook, I think I put it on Twitter. So when we're growing up, our parents, based on their level of knowledge, whenever they got angry, there was an energy with which they insulted. Have you noticed that? They didn't know any better. There was an energy they used to certain things. If you use that same energy to bless a child, there's no curse that can affect that child. If you use that same energy and devotion that we were using to try to rebuke them, because they thought they were rebuking. And it was what they were taught that they were practicing. How many of you beat children? How many of you? How many people beat children now? We beat children. Didn't we? But how many of you beat children regularly now? But in those days, when they beat you, your spirit will leave you. And tell you that, no, I can't stay here. Then after a while, your spirit will come back when they finish beating. But I don't understand why somebody's beating you and saying you shouldn't shout. This thing you are doing will make me shout. My mother would say that, who is beating and you are shouting? I'm like, I don't understand. This beating. Am I not supposed to? They say, the bitch is firm. I don't understand. Firm with this beating. See the stroke of the guy that came. Someone is going to give you 12 rocks. He has you starting to adjust you. Oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about. God is good to you. I don't understand why he must be in a particular position before they beat you. That you want to beat you is already bad. They don't say you must be in this position. And when you're not standing properly, they will use like 13 to... It's only 12 strokes you want to give you. You use 13 to adjust you. No, not like that. Stand like, no. I'm not taking that one. Like this. You've already taken 13. And it's 12. You now shall say, who is beating and you're shouting? If you make the mistake of running out, you are finished. Just go and call Jesus come and beg for you. They are beating you, you are out. They wait until you are asleep in the night. Hallelujah. So there was an energy they used to speak words when they're angry. Now we know better. You're raising children now. No matter how angry you get, you are a spirit being. Control your anger. Be careful with your words. The things you say now. Don't tell a child is stupid. You foolish boy. Eh? From which source? You must be a foolish father. That's implication. You monkey, I resemble you. I resemble you. Don't correct a child out of anger. That's why when you're hungry, it's not the best time to correct a child. When you're hungry, calm down. Correction is your aim, not destruction. And what ought more than king does? Yeah, they do. My two parents were English graduates, so English in our house was the greatest insult my father has ever you are highly responsible, completely useless. The combination was terrible. It was the word of God that delivered me from it. I was breaking because it was programmed. You are highly irresponsible, completely terrible adjectives. The first thing I did was I told my dad, I won't raise my children like this. But they didn't know any better. They didn't know some of the principles we're looking at now. I don't say these things. It will program the child's mind. Tell the child, you're a success. The hand of God is upon you. You can't miss it in life. God's wisdom is working through you. You see far. Doors of nations are open to you. You are in leadership all your days. The light of Christ will shine to you. That's what the child needs to hear. You are intelligent. You are brilliant. Nobody has a better mind than you do. You speak words that minister what? Life. That's the way you treat. Don't fall for what the world is doing to use some of those negative words. Because you are a speaking spirit, just like your Father God is. Be mindful. Practice economy of speech. Words convey a form of life. And words can minister death. So be careful about the words you speak. Marriages and homes that dissolve and break down. Check. Certain words were spoken that should never have been spoken. Because at the inception of marriage, it was words you exchanged that brought you together. Do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded? You said, I do. Will you love her, cherish her, take care? The husband woman also use words. So words can break your home. You can be living on the same roof. You're no longer married. Because words were spoken that should never be spoken. That's how powerful words can be. Have you ever been to somebody's place before? And they welcome you with smiling faces, but you felt the tension. Because words create atmospheres. Have you been there before? You felt the tension that there's a cover up. Maybe they just finished fighting. No matter the kind of juice they give you, the atmosphere that tells you that something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. And that's why the greatest form of apology and repentance you can have towards your spouse is to begin by saying the right words. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You are the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm really sorry about what happened. You start with words, not with actions. With words first. Because words go a long way to heal. The same way words can break. Words go a long way to what? To heal. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I will not be afraid. There's nothing that men can do unto me. I take the words of God I put upon my lips. I begin to chart a new destination for my life. This is my time and my season. I'm a speaking spirit like my Father is. See, I'm a speaking spirit like my Father is. In running up, it was David who said, the Lord is my life, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Was that same David that faced Goliath? The whole reason why chapter 17 of 1 Samuel was written was to show us that spiritual battles are fought and won on the authority of spoken words. That was what Goliath used. Goliath represented the enemy, the devil, and demonic energy. He kept speaking until men who have a covenant with God were paralyzed for 40 days because a man spoke. He didn't kill a single person. He killed the reverence of God in their hearts. He spoke for 40 days and they allowed him to speak. He gave them terms and conditions for fighting and they accepted it. And that's what the enemy does. He comes to your territory. He gives you terms and conditions that you are meant to reject. That's what he does. You're a single lady. A guy comes to you. If your time is passing by, they give you options that is contrary to God's word. You must have a child for me first before you can get married. You accept. The enemy is giving you terms and conditions contrary to God's word. You're about to accept. You get pregnant, he still leaves you. The enemy is setting terms and conditions. They're not meant to accept. He tells you that's our culture. That's not our culture where we come from. The culture of God's kingdom is different. No. 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 Don't come and test my fertility. I'm fertile in Christ. He brings up all kinds of things that are contrary to God's word. Are you accepting without knowing? Until you do this, or you do this, and you know it's contrary. Goliath came and told them, bring a man. I'm a man. Who fights wars like that? And they listened. And he kept threatening them. He stripped them of a consciousness of their identity. Said, are you not soldiers of Saul? No, they were not soldiers of Saul. They were servants of the living God. They forgot who they were. They listened to propaganda for 40 days. And 40 days, we saw as a principle, was enough to reorient their minds. If I say something consistently for 40 days, and I don't miss a single day, I assure you that before Mr. Kali speaking, it will become your reality and your experience. I'm telling you, it will. Scientists over a number of years ago, they discovered that every cell of a man's body responds to the words I speak. A man went into what you call a garden, where there were things that are planted. They connected electrodes to those plants. He went there and kept speaking negative words, negative words. He did it for about 3 days. All the plants died. Another one went inside. They collected and began to speak life. All the plants began to live. Even plants hear the words that you speak. Speak life. Say, I'm a life-giving spirit. Say, I'm a life-giving spirit. There's life inside of me. There's life in my experiences. It doesn't matter what I've experienced before. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer. You only want to see corruption. I will not see corruption. I will not see destruction. The life of God is at work in and through me. I experience liberty in all areas of life. I'm prospering and there's flourishing in everything that I do. The God of increase brings increase my way. Lift your hands this morning and give Him thanks. And give Him thanks. And give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. It's a new season and a new day. Things are working out for your good. Things are working out for my good. It's a new day. It's a new season. I will never be stuck. Say, be not dismayed from your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the righteousness of my righteousness. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Not a single will fail of the words I have spoken on today. Give Him thanks and acknowledge. What He has said is true. It doesn't matter how much people say it's impossible. What He has said is true. His words never fall to the ground. Don't let them fall from your lips, because the word will not fall to the ground. So don't let it fall from your lips. His word will not fall to the ground. Don't let it fall from your lips. Let it stay upon your lips. You are that establishing witness, because the word of God is true and remains true forevermore. Glory to His name.